A psalm of David. Adonai is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Adonai forever. Psalm 23. The question of shepherds in the Bible is an important one, as is the subject of sheep. You find sheep mentioned no less than 180 times in the pages of Scripture, 41 of those times in the Tanakh. Interestingly, the two books of the Bible that mention sheep the most are 1 Samuel and the book of John. In fact, I think if you really want to do so, you could superimpose the book of John over the book of 1 Samuel. Because really, what we're talking about when we're talking about the Lamb of God is Yeshua, the Savior of all mankind, the one who paid the price that we might have life. Certainly, 1 Samuel touches on that subject, but John really finishes the story of that subject in a magnificent way, truly magnificent. The word shepherd is mentioned another 48 times in Scripture. And so these two terms, these two words, sheep and shepherd, we see them nearly 230 times in the pages of Scripture. Surely God might want us to learn something from that. The psalm that David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," it says. Shepherd, the one who leads me, the one who guides me, the one who makes sure that I have good pasture to feed in, nourishing grasses for my body. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes sure that I have all that I need to drink in order to remain healthy. But he also makes sure that the waters are still, that they don't frighten me, that they don't make me run away from them, that indeed they are still so that I can drink in peace. Even as Yeshua said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you." His shalom. You see, this is what Psalm 23 is talking about. And I find it so interesting, so very interesting, that the one who wrote this, this shepherd, a mere shepherd boy, was chosen by God to be king over his people Israel. Of all the kings that God chose for Israel, he chose David, the shepherd. And I just find that fascinating. Well, let's read some more about the life of David, shall we? 1 Samuel 16, 10 through 12 tells us, "Thus Jesse, David's father, made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, 'Adonai has not chosen any of these.' Then Samuel asked Jesse, 'Are these all the boys you have?' Because you see, God had told Samuel where to go. Samuel knew he was to go to Jesse, And Jesse causes his seven eldest sons to pass before Samuel, starting with the eldest to the second youngest. But there's one who didn't pass before Samuel, and that was the youngest. And so Samuel asked this question, knowing that God had told him where to go. You go to this man's house, and I'm going to show you which one you're to choose as king over my people, Israel. So he asked, are these all the boys you have? And then Jesse replied, they're still the youngest, but right now he's tending the sheep. Send and bring him, Samuel said to Jesse, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent word and had him come. Now he was ruddy-cheeked with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. Then Adonai said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. So here this boy, this young man is, who comes straight out of the field with the smell of sheep all over him. And this is the one that as soon as he comes into the presence of everyone who is assembled, God says, anoint him, for he is the one, the shepherd that God chose to be king over his people Israel. And why not? We'll find out why God would want to do this. Look in 2 Samuel 7, 4 through 8. We begin to find out something about David's heart for the people of Israel. We find out that his heart for Israel was very much like his heart for the sheep that he took care of, that he was the shepherd of. And I don't just mean the keeper of the sheep. I mean the shepherd of the sheep. And we're going to find out something about what that means today. Not the keeper of the sheep, the shepherd of the sheep. So in 2 Samuel 7, 4 through 8, we read, but it came to pass the same night that the word of Adonai came to Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, thus says Adonai, are you to build me a house for me to dwell in? Since the day that I brought up the children of Israel from Egypt to this day, I have not dwelt in a house, but have been moving about in a tent, even in a tabernacle. In all my journeying among all the children of Israel, did I ever speak a word to any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? So now, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says Adonai Sevaot, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. He later tells David that you won't be the one who builds the house for me. It will be your son, Solomon, who builds that house. God making a promise to the shepherd that he chose for his people. Amos 1:1, we find out that Amos, the prophet of God, was actually a shepherd. That's where he started at. He even tells the king of Israel at a later point, no, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a shepherd keeping figs. But he's a shepherd, not a prophet. And yet God chose this shepherd at a critical time in the house, in the history of Israel, to bring the word of God to Israel, calling Israel back to God. You see, Israel had drifted so very far from God. And so he sent his prophet Amos, another faithful shepherd of the flock, to go and shepherd his people Israel, to bring them back to a right way of relationship with God. And so we read in Amos 1:1, the words of Amos, who was among the shepherds from Tekoa. He perceived these words concerning Israel during the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. In 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37, we read this. I want to read this just to give you a further understanding of the job of a shepherd as David saw it and as David lived it. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb out of its mouth. If it rose up against me, I grabbed him by its fur, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. So this uncircumcised Philistine will become like one of them, since he has defied the ranks of the living God." Then David said, "Adonai, who has delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." You see, David had gone out to meet with his brothers who were in combat with the armies of Israel. His father had sent him with some food and to get news from them about how they were doing. And so David goes and he sees Goliath step forth from the Philistine lines and challenged the entire house of Israel. And none of the men of the armies of Israel could stand against him because they were so terrified of this giant that had been a warrior since his youth. He was huge. His weapons were huge. Everything about him was intimidating, and the armies of Israel were thoroughly intimidated by him. David shows up, though. He's thinking, poof. So what about his big size, and so what about his big words? You can almost see the wheels turning in David's head, thinking the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so David goes to the king after being asked by the king to come to him. And the king says, "You really think you're going to fight this warrior?" And David tells him about how he fought the bear, about how he fought the lion, about how if the bear continued to attack after he struck the bear and rescued the lamb out of his mouth, that if he came at him again, he grabbed him by the fur, he struck him, and he killed him. Obviously, this was a kid who was fearless. And he was obviously not just a keeper of the flock, he was a shepherd of the flock. And as a shepherd of the flock, he was going to watch that flock with everything he had. We see a picture of him, though, as already having this sense that Israel is also his flock, and that he needs to watch after Israel and protect Israel just as he protected his father's flock. So yeah, he said, "Sure, this uncircumcised Philistine will be to me just like the bear and the lion were. He comes at me, I'm going to strike him dead in the name of the Lord God of Israel, and he's not going to be able to stand before me, and the armies of the Philistines will not stand before us. How dare these who defy the living God that they would actually speak boastfully against us? I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel," David said. Indeed, Goliath may have had that massive spear and that massive sword and that massive shield, but David had faith in the Lord God of Israel, and he had the strength of the Lord God of Israel behind him to take down anyone who would stand against him, stand against God. Let's not forget about the Lamb of God, though, shall we? The one who came to bring life, Yeshua. Another place where we read about shepherds is in Luke 2, 6 through 14, where we read, but while they were there, Joseph and Miriam, the time came for her to give birth in Bethlehem. That means something, by the way. City of David. How appropriate. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and set him down in a manger, since there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in the same region, living out in the fields and guarding their flock at night. Suddenly an angel of Adonai stood before them, and the glory of Adonai shone all around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim good news to you, which will be great joy to all the people. A Savior is born to you today in the city of David, who is Messiah, the Lord. And the sign to you is this: you will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a multitude of heavenly armies appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, shalom to men of goodwill." And I said that really means something, that Yeshua was born in the city of David. Why wouldn't he be? Because the house of Yosef was the house of David. And when the Roman emperor gave the edict that there must be a census of all the people, then each man of Israel had to go back to his ancestral home, which meant Yosef had to travel back to Bethlehem. But understand something about Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a special place, only about 3 kilometers away from Jerusalem. So it was near to Jerusalem, where the temple of God stood. Bethlehem was the place where the temple flocks were kept. It's the place where they were raised. It's the place where they were prepared for temple service. So all of those sacrifices that were made from the sheep and the goats, they came from the area of Bethlehem. There, just outside of Bethlehem, there stood a tower, a building known as the Watchtower, the Migdal Eder. And it was from that tower that shepherds would stand guard over the flocks of Adonai day and night, day in and day out, every day of the year, no matter how harsh the weather would become. It was their job to watch over those flocks. They were to protect them from the bear and the lion and the wolves, and from robbers who might come and try to poach one or two head. That was their job. It was a cold job. It was a hard job. It was an uncomfortable job. And it could be a dangerous job also. And yet you see, the job of the shepherd is to protect the flock. A shepherd who isn't willing to do that is an unworthy shepherd. People need a shepherd. We needed a shepherd. And so Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:25, "For you, like sheep, were going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." God is the shepherd and guardian of our souls. And he's telling his readers there that by coming to Yeshua, by walking in Yeshua, the Lamb of God, the one who laid his life down that you might have life, that they have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of their souls. Hebrews 13:20, the writer tells us, now may the God of Shalom, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of an everlasting covenant, our Lord Yeshua. He is our great shepherd who brought us up from the land of the dead that we might have life by his shed blood. Psalm 77:20, we find that the subject of God being the shepherd of Israel is not a new idea. Starting in verse 19, we read, the sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea and your path in the mighty waters, but your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is kind of the point I want to get to all of you today. Each of you has been called to be a shepherd of God, a shepherd to his flock, a shepherd to the ones that he has called, a shepherd to the ones who, when they hear his voice, they will recognize his voice and they will follow. Indeed, God did lead his people Israel as a shepherd, but he chose Moses and Aaron as his human instruments to lead them. Indeed, he did lead his people Israel as their shepherd, but he chose his servant David, the shepherd, a shepherd, to be king over the people of Israel. Indeed, God spoke to his people Israel, but he chose the prophet Amos, another shepherd, to go and bring his people Israel back to himself from the places that they had strayed. Make no mistake about it, there is almost no place in the pages of Scripture where God is not demonstrating to us time and again that while he is indeed the mover, the mighty shaker, the one who creates, the one who does all things, yet he chooses human agency time and time and time again to make his will in heaven a reality here on this earth. The question is, are we willing to be called by God and to be used by him in this way? If I don't get a mighty shout of amen now, I'm going to wonder about you guys. John 10, 1 through 3. You know, Psalm 23 talks about the great shepherd, the good shepherd. I think if you want to find the counterpart in the Brit Hadashah, you have to go to John 10. Because the entirety of John 10 is in fact about the shepherd and what the shepherd does to protect the flock. And so I want to cover several excerpts from John 10, starting with verses 1 through 3. Amen and amen, I tell you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Many of you know that Annette and I bought three ewes not too long ago, three female sheep. yearlings. They weren't supposed to be pregnant. Every one of them was, though. Feels a little bit like we've been drinking from a fire hydrant. I mean, hey, where else do you go and you make an investment? You have 100% return on the investment within 1 month, though. Not too bad. So we bought three and we wound up with six. All six are doing quite well. You know what? Each of them has a name, though. And when I go out and I call Lady Surprise knows exactly who she is, and she comes to me. When I call out for Braveheart, the one who was so sick and we really had to fight for his life, Braveheart knows his name, comes wagging that little tail, and he comes up, butts me right in the leg. He's a ram. That's what rams do, right? Now, Godric the First is just learning his name. But he hears it and he wags his tail already because he recognizes that he's being addressed by name. Flicka, Duchess, and Countess also recognize their names. Now, you see, they don't really know us so well, though. They remember Gene Johns, the one who raised them. But they're learning who the shepherd is. And indeed, when we go out to them, we always go through the gate. We don't climb over it. We go through it. We bring them food. We bring them water. We lead them out of their corral areas so that they can feed on the best grasses in the richest areas of the pasture that we have. And this is what you do with sheep. But you see, they're already learning their name, and yet they've just been born. This is what Yeshua is talking about here. My sheep know me. He further says in John 10, 7 through 10, so Yeshua said again, amen and amen, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone comes in through me, he will be saved. He will come and go and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. This is God's promise through Yeshua. You follow the good shepherd and you not only know life, you know life abundantly. You'll note the context. He's talking about a shepherd keeping his sheep, leading them and guiding them. How was it that David said it? Leading and guiding them to green pastures, to still waters. So they had everything that they might possibly need and could not just live, not just survive, but live and live well. Live life more abundantly as they follow the good shepherd. And then Yeshua said a couple of things that must have been absolutely mind-blowing to the people who were listening to them. Because remember, these people knew Psalm 23, and they knew of Melech David, King David. Because then Yeshua says in John 10, 11 through 13, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired worker is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. He sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and flees. But the good shepherd doesn't flee, does he? The good shepherd sees the bear take the lamb in his mouth, and he rushes up and he takes his shepherd's crook and he bashes the bear over the head. When the bear drops the lamb, he snatches the lamb up And if the bear comes after him, he grabs him by the fur and he strikes him again and kills him, and he saves that lamb. He's willing to risk his life for the good of the sheep. That is the good shepherd. The man is only a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. Yeshua finishes his thought. And then in John 10:14-16, he repeats again, "I am the good shepherd." You see, he not only says it once, he says it twice, and he explains exactly what he means by it, the good shepherd. And I'm telling you, every one of the people realized what he was saying. Later on, the leaders of the Judeans once again were picking up stones, wanting to stone him. Why? Because of the way he spoke of himself. He was speaking of himself as being God. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is very interesting. "I have other sheep that are not from this fold. Those also I must lead, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." Indeed, in allusion to the fact that the prophets had long prophesied, beginning with Moses, that the day would come when the word of God would also go to the nations, would also go to the Gentiles, and there would be those from amongst the Gentiles who also would follow the shepherd of Israel. Then a little later in this chapter, John 10:22-28, we read, "Then came Hanukkah. It was winter in Jerusalem. Yeshua was walking in the temple around Solomon's colonnade. Then the Judean leaders surrounded him, saying, 'How long will you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us outright.' Yeshua answered them, 'I told you, but you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify concerning me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand.' At which point the Judean leaders began to grab stones to stone him. And Yeshua says, 'For what of the good works I've done amongst you are you going to stone me?' They said, 'For none of those, but because you make yourself out to be God.'" You know, kind of an aside, but you can't make up things about Yeshua that are clearly false and say that somehow they're true. So you can't say that Yeshua is a good man if he isn't Messiah. Because if he isn't God, if he isn't one with God, then he's a liar. Because he clearly called out the leaders of Israel and said, "You don't recognize me. You're not my sheep." "I am the one who is called by God. And yet you would kill me for this?" Who was Yeshua? Was he just a good man? Was he just a prophet? The penalty for blasphemy in Israel, blasphemy what would fall under that is certainly someone claiming to be as God. The penalty for blasphemy in Israel was death by stoning. Pretty permanent solution, wouldn't you say? And so, a person who's going to claim what Yeshua claimed is either a liar or else he's insane. And liar and insane, I don't think describes the Messiah of Israel very well. Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel. And he knew exactly what he was saying, and his interlocutors understood it very well also. You know, I said earlier that in every case in Scripture, except maybe one, and that was the actual creation of the heavens and the earth, God chooses human agency to bring forth just about everything he wants to have done here. And so when we read of shepherds, we're not only reading of shepherds with God or with Yeshua or with a king of Israel or a prophet of Israel or the Messiah of Israel. We also read about shepherds in other places also. So in Ephesians 4:11, we see Paul telling us, he himself gave some to be emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, and some as shepherds and teachers. If you've got the New King James Version, you'll note the words are a little bit different. Emissaries is used for apostles here. Shepherd is used for pastor. The word shepherd is an interesting word. Its etymology, starting with the Old English in the 14th century, was actually a name. This arose from the Old French, the word pasteur or pasteur, which spoke of one who leads a flock into a pasture, one who protects that flock from wild animals. This comes directly from the Latin word pastor. And so when we see shepherd being utilized instead of the word pastor, we're really using the correct word. Because in Hebrew, the word would be roi, which is talking about a shepherd. God chose some to be, amongst other things, emissaries or prophets or evangelists or shepherds or teachers to lead the flock of God into the fullness of God. This is where the congregations come from. And why congregations like this are important, and why the writer to the Hebrews warns us not to be lazy about attending our congregational services, that it's important, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, he tells us. It's within the congregation that we really learn of God in a very special and very deep way. It's where we learn of one another. It's where we learn to be one flock under our great shepherd, and where we learn to do the work that he has called us to do, that we can further serve as shepherds over other parts of his flock. Too often we have this idea that in the congregation, our only real job is to attend once or twice a week, say our prayers and our blessings, drop a little money in the offering plate, put on a pious face for a time, for a period of time, and then go our way afterwards for the rest of the week. Nothing could be further from the truth. That is not what God has called us to do. God has called us to service to our fellow man. First Peter 5, 1 through 3. Peter says, therefore I appeal to the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of Messiah's sufferings and a partaker also of the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd God's flock among you. Watch over it, not under compulsion, but willingly under God. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Don't lord it over those apportioned to you, but become examples to the flock. Now, I told you, there's an awful lot said about sheep and shepherds in the Bible, aren't there? Hence the reason for the title to this message of Shepherds and Kings. Because you see, the subject of shepherds is carefully intertwined in Scripture with the subject of kings, the leaders of God's people. The ones who are supposed to serve as shepherds, leading the people to green pastures, leading the people to still waters, protecting the people from the wolf, from the lion, from the bear. Being willing to lay your life down for the flock. And not just the 99 that are easy to deal with because they stay with you, but the one who wanders off and causes you to have to leave the 99 behind that you might go and find the one and rescue the one. This is what it means to be a shepherd. Your work is never done. Yeshua called his disciples to be shepherds for him. And nowhere is this seen more clearly than in his words to Peter in John 21, 15 through 19, where we read, when they had finished breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. He said to him, take care of my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him for a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Yeshua said to him, feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Now this he said to indicate by what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God. And after this, Yeshua said to him, follow me. Now I find the transition interesting in this passage. Because the first time that Yeshua said to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, he says, feed my lambs. Now that's indicative. A lamb is indicative of youth, one who's very young. And believe me, little lambs, when they're first born, they don't really look much like sheep yet. They're very gangly. They're all legs and not much else. very, very long legs. This is before they put on any weight, though. This is before they've really begun to form the bulk that you expect from a sheep's body. So the legs look absolutely huge. They're young, they're inexperienced, they know nothing. They're almost helpless. Do you realize that a Shetland sheep lamb only weighs about 5 pounds at birth? A large hock could carry that young animal away. That young animal needs to be protected, therefore. Our lambs never leave the barn except just to walk around in the corral area until they reach at least a week and a half, 2 weeks old, when they have gained enough mass that they're no longer in such a danger from the hawks. So feed my lambs. You're starting with one who is new to the faith, one who is young in the faith, and you need to feed them until they grow to a certain point where they don't need nonstop care. You understand that little lamb needs nonstop care for a period of time if he's to survive. Mom must feed him, and if mom is not feeding him for whatever reason, either because her teats are stopped up or whatever else, then guess what? You have to take that little lamb into your house and you bottle feed him. Now, Evangelina knows something about this. She's got a little sheep named Mikey. Mikey was a bottle-fed lamb. Now, guess who Mama is to Mikey? Evangelina. And so whenever Evangelina goes out to their farm, Mikey just starts raising a ruckus because he's so excited to see Mama. Why not? But then he transitions from feed my lambs, and he says a second time to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, and he says, take care of my sheep. Now we're not talking about lambs, we're talking about sheep. They've grown a little bit older, but they still need care. Now one of the things that I've tried to do here at Remnant of Israel is to protect this flock from all of the theological flotsam that is floating around everywhere in our culture today. Not all theology is good, and not all people who say they're from God are. One of the jobs of a shepherd in the house of God is to make sure that the people are protected from the wreckage that he sees out there, from the dangers that are out there. It's not that I think I'm perfect. It's not that I think I'm the holder of all truth. It is that I know I'm the shepherd here, and my job is to protect. We should be doing the same for one another. And that means we shouldn't be so timid in speaking the truth when the time comes to call down error. And then a third time, Peter, do you love me? Now you can imagine how exasperated Peter was becoming at this point. I want to tell you, though, that with each time Yeshua asked him that question, and each time Yeshua gave him a command after Peter had answered, he was restoring Peter to the work that Peter had been called to. In fact, in a moment of fear, Peter had denied Yeshua. But that moment of fear didn't have to be the thing that would define the rest of Peter's life any more than Thomas's doubt at a certain point had to define Thomas's life. Your times of fear and doubt at a moment do not need to define the rest of your life either. And Yeshua said, "Feed my sheep." You see, he started out with, "Feed my lambs." Then he said, "Care for my sheep." Then he said, "Feed my sheep." It's a process. It's a process that's called discipleship. Our job is not to make believers. Remember, Jesus saves. We don't. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin. We don't do that either. What we do is we go and we make disciples by inviting people to walk alongside of us and to learn day by day with us on this journey of life in Yeshua how we're supposed to live. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what has happened in your past. When God calls you and you come to Him through Yeshua, you become a new creation. Whatever the devil did to you or through you or with you in the past, that's gone. It no longer matters. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to make three quick points, therefore, to close this up. Number one, the good shepherd cares for the sheep. The good shepherd is going to take the time that's necessary to learn who his sheep are, to be able to call them by name, and then he's going to shepherd them. He's going to make sure he takes them to places where they're going to have the foods that they need to grow strong. Remember what the Word of God says, though? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The best food that we can have spiritually is right here. This is the best food we can have spiritually. Now, they say for a lactating mother sheep that you should feed them some alfalfa. Now, alfalfa is like catnip for sheep. They love it. Oh, they love it. That is good eating. I'm telling you. They'll come up to it. I mean, even the ones who are very skittish at first, if we had alfalfa in our hands, they would come up to us because they wanted that alfalfa. You feed it to other sheep who aren't lactating, all they're going to do is get fat. So maybe not too much alfalfa, a little bit too rich in that case. But it's good eating, and they want it. They need it. Do you recognize what it is your sheep need, and do you give it to them? That's what it means to care for the flock. You give them what they need because you recognize those needs, because you've taken time to actually learn what those needs are. Number two, the good shepherd guards the sheep. Are you willing to lay your life down for the flock that God has given you? That's really the question. Yeshua obviously was. So was Amos, since he died for his efforts to call the flock of Israel back to God. The stories of shepherds of the flock in the early days of God's congregations are legion of those who laid their lives down for the flock to protect the flock. The Roman government was going to take its pound of flesh. These shepherds made sure that that pound of flesh came from them, not from their sheep. They cared for them. They were willing to lay their lives down for them. They protected them. They protected them even as David protected his flock from the lion and the bear and the wolf. They too protected their flock from the wolves in sheep's clothing. And finally, number three, the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. just like Yeshua did. Now, the point of all this today, this message of shepherds and kings, is to point out to each and every one of us that we have an important role to play in the shepherding of the flock of God. We need to care for one another. We need to love one another. We need to realize that even as Yeshua pointed out, there are those not from this flock, those too I must shepherd. That there are people out there that God has called who are not yet part of the flock yet, not yet being shepherded, but who need to be shepherded. Who's to say that you're not the one that's being told to go get them? Bring them back to the flock. Introduce them to the house of God. Introduce them to another part of the flock that has been living and growing and learning of Him who alone gives life, that they too might not only have life, but live life more abundantly, even as Yeshua said. So we've seen a progression here. We saw the progression first of God being presented as the shepherd of Israel. But one who shepherded Israel through human instruments that He chose, Moses and Aaron. We see God choosing another instrument, David, who He made king of Israel, to shepherd His flock. And then another one, Amos, a shepherd who became a prophet, that he might call the flock of Israel back to God. And then we see Yeshua presented as the shepherd of Israel. And then we see it said that each of us has our role to play, that the flock of God would be well shepherded. Amen. Amen. Is someone getting the kids yet? Yeah, okay. Sammy, could you go get the kids real quick? Thank you. Anyways, I'll tell you, the sheep are a lot of work, but they're a lot of fun too. You ought to see the little ones as they play, kicking up their heels, having a good time. There was a song that we learned at Christ for the Nations that talks about the goodness of God and what it's like to walk with Him. And it goes like this. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings, with healing in His wings. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings, with healing in His wings. And you will skip about for joy like calves let from the stall. And you will tread the wicked down, thus says the Lord of hosts. And you will skip about for joy like calves let from the stall. And you will tread the wicked down, thus says the Lord of hosts. Sing it with me. For those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings, with healing in His wings. For those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings, with healing in His wings. And you will skip about for joy like calves let from the stall. And you will tread the wicked down, thus says the Lord of hosts. And you will skip about for joy like calves led from the stall. And you will tread the wicked down, thus says the Lord of hosts. I want you to leave with this picture in your mind of walking in Yeshua and knowing such a freedom and such a safety that you can feel like that calf let from his stall, or those little lambs out exploring the pasture land for the first time. And you can kick up your little hooves and you can just rejoice in the freedom that you have in him, knowing that he is your protector, knowing that he is your provider, knowing that he is your Roy, your shepherd. Amen.